Hey everyone, it's Andy Zemenidis, Executive Director of the Hellenic American Leadership Council, and we are taking our podcast on the road. And there is a line I've always wanted to use, so here it goes. Live from New York. It's not really live because this is a podcast, but it's your weekly dose of the Greek current. And we're in New York for the opening of the UN General Assembly. It is World Leader Week. And if you've loved traffic in Manhattan, you would really enjoy this week because there are about 100 presidential motorcades lining the streets. But to get a real insight, we want to give you guys a behind-the-scenes look at what happens in the UN and how Hellenic issues are at the UN. We have a very special guest, Nikos Christodoulidis, the government spokesman of the Republic of Cyprus. Niko, how are you?
Hi, Andy. Hi, everybody. It would be much better to be in Chicago, actually, instead of New York, having in mind the great memories from the visit of President Anastasiades in Chicago. He promised that he'll be back, and let's hope that next year, following the elections in Cyprus on February, during next General Assembly, he will visit Chicago again.
That's great. There'll be less traffic in Chicago.
I'm sure about it.
Just don't come when the Cubs win the World Series. Last year, during the celebratory parade, there were 7 million people at the parade.
We'll make sure that you had this that time.
Niko, of course, this was a very busy summer for Cyprus. There was the failed talks at Grand Montana. Of course, many of us and many in the Halk universe actually expected them because we hadn't seen for years any real effort by Turkey, and we weren't fooled by people saying Turkey's ready, Turkey's ready. But it is important that we are at the UN because Cyprus is the second longest standing issue before the UN Security Council. What was your goal coming into this week, and what did you get out?
Before going specifically on the Cyprus issue, this year, General Assembly, we can say that it was a special one for a number of reasons. That was the first General Assembly of President Trump, the first General Assembly of the Secretary General, the new Secretary General, Mr. Guterres, and with North Korea issue to be at the headlines of the discussions in the General Assembly. An issue that interests not only the United States, interests Europe, Asia, it interests everybody. So it was very important for us, representing Cyprus, a small member state of the European Union, to be present and participate in those discussions dealing with international issues. Because we have to recognize when we make mistakes. And for a lot of years in Cyprus, we used to deal just with the Cyprus problem, having the impression, the wrong impression, that either in Washington or in New York or in London, the only issue that is the only issue that it was discussing was the Cyprus problem. In order to be able to show your case, to prove your arguments, you have to be able at the same time to discuss all issues, and especially main issues that are on the headlines, like North Korea issue, like Syria. And I have to say that besides all the meetings that President Anastasiades had regarding the Cyprus problem, he participated in a number of events regarding Syria or the North Korea, together with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, exactly because an argument that we tried to promote regarding Cyprus and our foreign policy, and I think I can say that we do it successfully, is to show that Cyprus is not just a Cyprus problem.
Mm-hmm.
Cyprus can be the solution in a number of issues, in a number of international issues that are of great concern. And that was also our argument towards the American government, towards the U.S. administration. We're at the middle of Eastern Mediterranean, the middle of Middle East, an area of great interest from the U.S. Administration for the European Union. We are the only, I can say, predictable,
and
reliable,
stable
country in an area of great concern. So, having said all that, our arguments here is that in our efforts to solve the Cyprus problem, we should be very careful in order, through the solution of the Cyprus problem, to amplify even more our role as a security provider in the Eastern Mediterranean. And the reason that the recent talks in Grand Montana, the conference on Cyprus, that it was the first time since 1974, the Turkish invasion, that we have a conference on Cyprus to discuss, I may say, the most difficult chapter, which is the security and guarantees. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we didn't reach an agreement because of the insistence of Turkey on having an intervention right in Cyprus, to have permanent Turkish presence in Cyprus, something that you can understand. It also influences the way that neighboring countries, but also other countries, including the USA, the United States, they approach the discussion for the Cyprus problem. So our main goal here is to explain the reason behind the collapse of the talks in Grants, Montana. And I believe that through the discussions, either with Vice President Pence, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Russia, of China, with the UK Prime Minister, Mrs. Theresa May, and the Secretary General, it was very important to discuss about the reasons of the collapse, but at the same time, how we prepare the ground for a new effort to solving the Cyprus problem. The current status quo in Cyprus is not an option. We want more than anybody else to solve the Cyprus problem and reunite our country. But our efforts to turn Cyprus in a full normal country, as the Secretary General himself said publicly. So we discussed the need for a period of preparation, either through the role of the UN Secretary General or the P5, the permanent members of the Security Council, talking to Turkey, talking to Mr. Erdogan. And I know and we fully understand how difficult it is to do this, but it is necessary.
You weren't one of the protesters that got his brains bashed in the
We were not there, but it seems that it tends to be a habit every time we have a president to run in the United States to have this kind of incidents.
You know, he's on a real roll. Three times in a row, it's a big incident. Nico, I want to go back to the Cyprus is not just a Cyprus problem. And for our listeners, those who don't know you, you've had a tremendous career in Cypriot diplomacy. You were the chief staffer when Cyprus assumed the presidency of the European Union. You were the first chief of staff for Foreign Minister Gasoulidis, and that was at the time, the height of the Arab Spring. You guys were the first European foreign ministry that visited President Sisi in Egypt. You had kicked off this, it seems like the era of trilaterals in the Eastern Mediterranean. So when you talk about Cyprus being a frontline Western state, you were on the front lines of establishing that. Again, our listeners and our health people are very familiar with the Cyprus-Israel relationship, but can you give some more insight in some of the more promising relationships besides Israel that Cyprus is developing now?
For a lot of years, we used to say that we are the bridge between Europe and Middle East. And actually, if you see the map, Cyprus can be the bridge geographically between Middle East and Europe. But you have to follow those steps in order, in action, to be the bridge between Europe and the Middle East. And that's what we tried to do from the very first day of this administration with Minister Kasoulidis, with his great experience in the European Parliament, his previous posting as a foreign secretary. So we start from the European Union to have an active role in all those issues that are of great concern in the Middle East. And we follow the same way with the U.S. administration: weapons of mass destruction, migration, human trafficking. You know that Cyprus is a place that you can, through the right policies, to make a difference in facing all those challenges that in reality are international challenges. So we start from having a very active role in the discussion in Brussels, I told you, we have to be honest with the people. We have to be realists. For a lot of years, we used to have a role just when we are discussing the Cyprus problem or Turkey-EU relations. We changed this. We are the we have the main role when in Brussels they are discussing EU-Egypt relation, EU-Israel, EU-Jordan, EU-Lebanon. And within this context, we started with Greece, this trilateral mechanism, these trilateral meetings. We start with the head of state, with Israel, Egypt, Jordan, now with Lebanon. And I have to tell you, this is the first time that this is becoming known. Here in New York, we have approached from a number of countries from the Gulf states that they want to have these trilateral meetings with Cyprus and Greece because they see the added value out of this trilateral mechanism. I have to say that the next 3 months we are going to have a trilateral with Egypt and Greece in Cyprus, November 21st. Then we're going to have with Jordan, again in Cyprus, Jordan and Greece, then with Lebanon, and then with Israel. Yeah. And besides the head of states, those meetings are taking place also at the level of ministers and also at the level of technocrats in order to really promote common agendas, because we have common concerns in the region, and the best way to face those concerns is through common action.
Well, let's go back now to the Cyprus problem. And today, the president, and today is Friday, so he met with the Secretary General. What's his roadmap? What are his expectations? And I'm talking about Secretary General Guterres for getting Cyprus negotiations on track.
First of all, we have to say that probably it's the first time that we have a UN Secretary General that he fully understood the essence of the Cyprus problem. And the essence of the Cyprus problem is the abolition of the anachronistic treaty of guarantees, the intervention right of Turkey in Cyprus, and the need for no foreign military presence in the island. Someone that is coming from Europe, so he knows very well and Cyprus and the Cyprus problem.
And really, Akram Montana, he defined normal country as exactly being one with no guarantees and no foreign troops.
Exactly, exactly. And this is actually the first time since the Turkish invasion in 1974 to have someone like the UN Secretary General going publicly to say such a position. That's why I wanted to mention that we have a Secretary General that he fully understands the essence of the Cyprus problem. So today's meeting is to discuss the way forward, because as I told you at the beginning, the current status quo is not an option for us. We want more than anybody else to end the occupation and reunite our island. So the Secretary General shares President Anastasiades' view that we have to prepare the ground in order to reconvene a new conference on Cyprus. And we hope, we expect that within this context, the Secretary General will try the next 2-3 months to examine the possibility of reconvening the conference on Cyprus if the necessary conditions are met in order to have a successful conference.
So by laying this groundwork, and to be frank with you, here at the outset of this podcast, we told you we've never thought Turkey has made serious gestures or initiatives to move the Cyprus issue forward. And it could be as simple as them declaring eventually we will have no guarantees and no troops. We think it should be a day one thing, but they haven't even said eventually. What's been disappointing for us, and I think we got to get to the heart of bursting this myth, that the Turkish Cypriots are being constructive. I frankly have not seen Akinci, and I would like to point out that Akinci, if you say it very fast, it sounds like Aung San Suu Kyi, and that just as she's a disappointment for the world, someone who everybody worried about her human rights, but she doesn't worry about the human rights of a Rohingya. I haven't seen any daylight between Akinci and Ankara. I haven't seen him do even the simplest things like turn off the flag that they light up every night, and as even American diplomats call it, it's the biggest middle finger in all of Europe. Do you really? I mean, have the Turkish Cypriots made a real gesture to you guys? Let's work together and we'll get rid of Turkey, you know?
Unfortunately, for those of us that were present during the 10 days negotiation in Grand Montana, we didn't witness the role that we were expecting to see from the Turkish Cypriots or Mr. Akinci. The end of the anachronistic system of guarantees is something that it's also in the interest of the Turkish Cypriots. They don't need Turkey to decide. We don't need Turkey to decide for us. We can decide for our future. And unfortunately, we didn't see from the Turkish Cypriots, from the Turkish Cypriot leader, Mr. Akinci, what we were expecting to see in Grand Montana, or to repeat what he was saying publicly 10 years ago. On the contrary, and this is very unfortunate, the last period we are seeing decisions from the occupation regime in Cyprus that try to distance Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. For example, very recently they refused to allow the Greek Cypriots to go to their occupied village to have a religious service in their church. I mean, you can understand that enjoying your religious freedom is one of the basic human rights.
And this harkens back to the times when they were interrupting liturgies and preventing Christmas celebrations and all the rest. I mean, do you see anything breaking anytime soon? I know the president has suggested, once again, confidence-building measures. To be honest, these were great ideas when he first suggested them in the first year that you guys served, in the first year in your tenure. But like the Varosha, giving back the ghost city, finding the missing, removing, there are still 1,500 missing Cypriots.
Which is a humanitarian issue, it's not a political issue.
And it's a way to bring people closer together, and it's beyond me how anybody has any excuse whatsoever for delaying this. But these are CBMs that you've suggested for a while. Do we have any feeling that the Turkish Cypriots and the Turks will respond this time?
Parallel to the preparatory, let's say, period in order to have a successful reconvening of the conference on Cyprus, we have to work also for confidence-building measures. And that is why President Anastasiadis, during his speech in the UN, he did a special reference on the need, I'm repeating myself, parallel to the preparatory process. Confidence building measure is not the solution of the Cyprus problem, but should support the process of ending the occupation. So he repeated his proposal, especially regarding the area of Famagusta, according to the relevant Security Council resolutions and the decisions of the Secretary General, and we hope that we will have a positive reply from Turkey, from the Turkish Cypriots. And we are living in an anarchic international system. We are realists. Turkey will not solve the Cyprus problem because they will recognize the illegality of the occupation or the violation of human rights in Cyprus. Turkey will not solve the Cyprus problem because the Turkish Cypriots might want to solve the Cyprus problem. Turkey will proceed to solve the Cyprus problem only if they feel there is an interest for Turkey out of such a development. And we believe that a rational thinking Turkey, and this is the big if you want, the rational, if we
big
have a,
if.
Exactly, if we have a rational thinking Turkey that can see the benefits for Turkey itself out of a possible solution of the Cyprus problem. And I'm talking about energy issues, I'm talking about the EU-Turkey relations, I'm talking for a number,
stable region,
exactly,
better relations even
number,
with Egypt or
I mean,
with Israel.
I'll give you an example. We talked before about the trilateral mechanism. We have trilateral mechanisms with all neighboring countries except Turkey.
Except for Turkey.
Turkey cannot participate in those mechanisms because of the situation in Cyprus, because it continues to occupy 37% of the area of the Republic of Cyprus.
And, let's underline for people who don't know, refuses to recognize the Republic of Cyprus, when it still needs its vote in the EU, and it still acts as if the Treaty of Guarantee, which the Republic of Cyprus is a party of, is in force. Nico, in May of 2014, the great visit to Cyprus, Joe Biden, brought a lot of hope. It was a tremendous opening speech that he gave when he landed in Cyprus, which included the declaration that Cyprus is a strategic partner of the United States. We know what Cyprus has offered in that strategic partnership, including facilities to European partners to conduct air operations against ISIS, including anti-money laundering, terrorist financing assistance, including the arrest of Hezbollah, as the first conviction of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, which led to Hezbollah being designated as a terrorist group in the EU. But to be honest, I have not seen what Cyprus has gotten back in this strategic partnership. I think in this relationship, to be honest, they named a street in America after this relationship. It's called One Way. And, you know, I'd like to know, what is it that the Republic of Cyprus is demanding of the U.S., not really demanding, but expecting in this strategic partnership, and whether this administration has gotten it that they have to take a step beyond where the last administration left it.
Look, I want to be honest with you. We were expecting more. But at the same time, in diplomacy, there is no deadlock. We continue to work. We had some, we have to mention also the positive developments. We had probably for the first time U.S. investment in Cyprus that continues, and we see a continued interest from U.S. business people to invest in Cyprus. We have an excellent mobile in Cyprus, and I have to say that President Anastasiadis had a meeting with the head of the exploration team of Exxon and Mobil.
But I also have to point out that's private sector.
Exactly.
That's private sector.
It was private sector, and also the investment in it was a private sector. We're expecting more, and we're expecting more, and there are very, very specific issues that we're expecting more. If you don't want me to mention a political issue, I will mention the issue of discussion for the treaty for the avoidance of the double taxation, for example. Something that if it happens, it will encourage more investment in Cyprus. Also, at the political level, we had last year, as you remember, the successful visit of President Anastasiadis in the United States. He had a meeting with Vice President Pence. We're hoping for a meeting with the U.S. President in Austria to see how we enhance more our strategic partnership, because what the former Vice President Biden mentioned when he came in Cyprus regarding U.S.-Cyprus relations as a strategic partnership is something that we really believe. And there is an added value for both countries out of the enhancing of our relations at all level. And as you mentioned, besides the private sector, at the level of the two governments.
You know, you guys ran, or your government ran on a campaign platform that included Cyprus entering the Partnership for Peace for NATO. The HALC and the Greek-American community in general has always wanted to see Cyprus and Greece build a stronger strategic ties. We are very pleased that you made that commitment. We're very pleased on, you know, the moves that Cyprus has made to be more a frontline Western security state. Where did the Partnership for Peace go wrong? Did Turkey just block it and everybody left it? It seems to me this is a huge missed opportunity for the U.S. and NATO countries not to have Cyprus in Partnership for Peace. You have countries like Georgia. You have the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia in Partnership for Peace. But you have a floating aircraft carrier In the Eastern Mediterranean, it's not in Partnership for Peace.
And that's why still this is an issue of great concern for the government. It's one of our options. We know Turkey's position, and besides its position regarding the application of Cyprus, the possible application of Cyprus in PFP, we're witnessing in the European Union a lot of problems in the cooperation between EU and NATO. Because Turkey, in a lot of cases,
is trying to exclude you.
Exactly. And this has, as a result, not to have to explore full possibilities of this cooperation between EU and NATO in the Eastern Mediterranean, in other areas of the world. And that's why we believe the U.S. administration can work towards Turkey in this specific issue, because it's a common interest if Cyprus is a member of PFP, if Cyprus fully explore its possibility within the discussions of the European Union and NATO, having in mind the strategic location of the Republic of Cyprus.
This week's word of the week, I think, has special significance given that we're at World Leaders Week at the United Nations. It's dialogue. So can you give us first of all, tell us it. Say it in Greek and tell us what it means to you, to your life, to your country, to Hellenism right now.
First of all, it's a Greek word that is used universally. Mm-hmm. In all countries, you can find the word dialogue. And it has the same meaning, and actually you pronounce it the same way that we pronounce it in Greece and in Cyprus.
Dialogos.
Exactly. And dialogue is the only way that we can solve problems. Only if we speak to each other, if we are ready to have a constructive and dialogues, we can face the challenges. And having in mind how the international system works today, challenges are common. There are not some challenges for some countries and some other for some other countries. We have common challenges, and through dialogue, we should find the common ways to face those challenges. So, dialogos is the way to solve international problems.
Great. Nico, thank you for this. We look forward to seeing you again in Chicago, in New York, in Washington, D.C., and in Cyprus. And know that the health community always has the back of the people of Cyprus and the Republic of Cyprus.
Andy, thank you for the opportunity. I have to say that having studied in this country and...
In New York.
And having seen the way HALC is working, I have to say that we're very proud of you. And actually, you are the future of the, not only the future, the present and the future of the Greek-American community in the United States.
So, HALC listeners, you see how the government of Cyprus feels about you. Let's keep earning that praise. Thanks again, Nico. As we wrap up the Greek Current's visit to New York, here are some more developments in and around the opening of the UN General Assembly that you should take note of. Greek Foreign Minister Nikos Kotsias represented the Tsipras government during World Leaders Week and was quite active. Not only did he address the General Assembly, but the minister may have wrestled a concession in the negotiations with Fyro over the Macedonian name issue. Successive governments in Skopje have engaged in a campaign of cultural propaganda claiming Greek symbols and history as their own. One of the fictions that Skopje has long pushed is that its people are directly descendant from Alexander the Great. Never mind that they didn't show up to the region until 1,000 years after Alexander's death. We've learned that the new government in Skopje, a government that's been born out of political crises, a year of political crises, and is desperate for progress on NATO and EU membership, may reverse some of that propaganda. Minister Kotsias may have secured a deal to rename Skopje's Alexander the Great Airport. Given the urgent nature of the political incentives for the government in Skopje, negotiations on the Macedonian name issue, which, like the Cyprus issue, are occurring under the auspices of the United Nations bear watching. Gutierrez also received the Freedom Award from the Federation of Cypriot American Societies. Gutierrez has quickly become one of the most popular Greek foreign ministers ever among the Greek Cypriot diaspora. His role at Crans Montana and steadfast refusal to accept Turkish troops and guarantees make him even more popular. In his speech before the Cyprus Federation, Gutierrez rejected the notion that being firm on national issues is equivalent to hardline nationalism. He restated Greece's commitment to helping Cyprus reunify and reunify as a normal country, just like Secretary General Guterres declared should be the goal for a reunified Cyprus. He pointed out, that Gutierrez, that is, pointed out that it is not normal for a country to be subject to foreign troops and foreign guarantees, especially since, as Foreign Minister Gutierrez reminded us, the Turkish Foreign Minister, Çavuşoğlu, spoke of Turkish intervention rights over the whole of Cyprus. One of the reasons Gutierrez is so popular among the Greek Cypriot diaspora is because several of his predecessors were so lousy. We were reminded of some of those horrible track records as former Greek Foreign Minister and Prime Minister George Papandreou popped up again. Unfortunately, this isn't a game of whack-a-mole and we can hit him and make his head pop back down. Papandreou, apparently not content with his legacy as the Prime Minister that kicked off Greece's enslavement to the Troika, he now seems eager to push along Cyprus's permanent subjugation to Turkey. On the sidelines of the Socialist International gathering, Papandreou, who, we must remind you all, publicly supported the fatally flawed 2004 Annan Plan for Cyprus and never really apologized for it, he played chummy with Turkish Cypriot leader Mustafa Akinci and treated Akinci as if he were generally pursuing a workable and just solution in Cyprus. Akinci, just a day later, in his press conference, reminded everybody that he's rejecting a zero troops, zero guarantees, and that's zero foreign Turkish troops or zero Turkish guarantees framework as maximalist. That doesn't sound like someone who's pursuing a workable solution in Cyprus. In his speech, Gutierrez referred to Thermopylae. Now I'm going back to the Gutierrez speech, but he referred to Thermopylae as an inspiration for him. Papandreou may be equally inspired by Thermopylae. It's just that Papandreou would find himself as one of the Greeks who fought on the Persian side. Stop doubling down on your mistakes, Georgie. In fact, stop showing up. If the failure of your new party enter parliament showed you anything, it should have showed you that the people of Greece and Hellenes worldwide have kind of the same attitude that Taki Tsoukalas, the famous Olympiakos fan, has. Adia, we want no more of you. Also this week in New York was the annual Concordia Summit. The Concordia Summit, co-founded by Nicholas Logothetis in 2011, has become one of the more significant forums for thought leadership in the U.S. This year, government leaders, nonprofit leaders, business leaders from around the world came together and discussed a host of issues, an agenda that was almost as broad as World Leader Week at the U.N. General Assembly. Go check out the Concordia Summit online. They do some impressive work. And since we are in New York, it's important for everyone to know, as we track the success of Greek Americans across the country, the Republican nominee for New York City Mayor is Nicole Malliotakis. And Nicole hit an important milestone this week, raising just enough money to be able to realize a 6-to-1 public campaign financing matching program in New York. We'll keep track of Nicole's progress, and she takes on Mayor de Blasio in the general election in just a couple months. We hope you enjoyed this week's Greek Current. We look forward to seeing you again next week, where we'll bring you not only the latest news, but some more expert analyses of issues of interest to the health community. Have a great week, and from us here, adios.